Welcome to a special edition of the Jay Woolley Show. Normally I'm in my apartment in New York City on Zoom talking to Coach. Tonight I am in downtown Charlottesville with Coach sitting next to me, more than 6 feet apart.
We're socially distanced.
Socially distancing. Yeah. And we are here next to each other to put on the Jay Woolley Show. Coach, thanks very much for coming out.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. And I'm actually glad that you're here and I get to converse with you. I don't have to converse at home with the family. And I don't have to teach Cameron. So it's good. It's good to be in a different setting. So this is good. It's a cool night.
Yeah. Later on the show, shortly, we're going to have a couple of former UVA stars join us. Guys that you've coached recently.
If they show up.
But before that, you know, we got to do a toast because...
I got water, Mark. I'm out. You know, we went pregame, yeah. So all I got is water tonight.
We'll see what that water's talking about in 20, 30 minutes. But you know I have to bring up the glass of wine because the first night we all hung out at the Downtown Grill.
Yep.
We shared a bottle, me, you, DeAndre's brother Aaron.
Yep.
And look how things turned out.
It turned out very well. I can't complain.
Can you please raise your glass?
Hold on, wait a second.
Can you please, and this is...
I'm going to step out and...
Big thanks to Erica for bringing the bottle to us tonight.
Mark, I'm going to have to... I did pregame here.
All right, you keep hiding that. That's all right. When the camera's not on you, I guess you'll be taking sips. So, before they join us, let's talk about a couple of things, right? And before we get into the NCAA news that's going to have a lasting impact, that could potentially have a lasting impact on colleges across the country for years, anything updated, anything, any news that we should know about that's happened over the last week and a half, 2 weeks?
In regards to us?
To you guys, yes.
Nothing new. We're just steadily plugging away, practicing, trying to finalize the schedule. That's been a nightmare with all the non-conference games, and obviously ACC games are easy to plug in, but the non-conference has been an issue. We're just trying to figure out where we're going to play teams, you know, if there is a quote-unquote bubble that we're going to go to. There's been talk of going to Orlando, maybe going to the Mohegan Sun. Just trying to figure out all of those details. But nothing new. Just waiting to see how these new rules affect us from a recruiting standpoint. And I know you'll get to it, but it was big news with seniors now having eligibility to come back. And we haven't talked to those guys, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out throughout the country.
So two new rules NCAA announced last week, right?
Yep.
An extra year of eligibility for all winter athletes.
Yep.
Right? So imagine that. Jay Huff, Sam Hauser could be here for a sixth year.
It would be good because if they decide to come back, we'll welcome them with open arms. It creates a little bit of a nightmare when we get all of these current 21s committed. And so you'll be over now three scholarships. So instead of 13, you'll have 16 on scholarship, which creates some issue. But I, quite honestly, I think all of that will work itself out.
I spoke to a non-ACC coach, head coach last week.
Yep.
And we were talking about it, or actually I spoke to him on Friday night. He just seemed so confused about everything. He's like, well, out of the four players I have, I'd love for three of them to return.
Oh, this is uncharted territory for all of us. And not every senior will come back. I mean, you'll have a couple guys that, you know, at least on our roster, I'm not sure what our guys will do. You know, Jay's married. Does he decide to, you know, try the NBA, go overseas, come back for another year. And I think a lot of it depends on the type of years that both Jay and Sam and Tom have. You know, if they have years where they put up huge numbers, we're successful, we win, then I think that helps them. But if you know, we, for whatever reason, wouldn't win as much as we hope to, maybe they all decide to come back. So it's, there's a lot that's up in the air.
How does it impact recruiting?
I don't know. This is all new. I think those guys are going to wait, maybe, and see what the rosters look like. You know, if for us, for example, if we knew exactly what our guys were going to do, it'd be easy for us to go and tell recruits, hey, they're gone, don't worry about it, or hey, they're coming back. Like, just being transparent, I think, is always the best way to be, but it's uncharted. It's new for everybody.
Guys, let's come on in now. Let's have you guys walk in now. Order something, bring your mask on. Yes, keep your mask on because you got Coach Jason Williford, who's in a bubble.
What up?
London.
What to do it?
Damn.
What up? What to do it?
Grado.
There was a question mark whether or not you were going to show up.
I just think I've seen you for another 5 years.
That's great.
Grado.
Where the trash can
is? I've seen these guys.
No, I'm hungry though. No, anywhere you go.
I figured you guys want food.
I'm representing too.
We were just talking about the NCAA granting an additional year for winter athletes. London, if you had an additional year, the year you graduated, would you have come back?
No chance. 4 years was I would have already played, or at the end of the tournament?
You might have known midway. You might have known midway through your senior season, through your fourth year.
Yeah, I would have left.
You were still left.
Yeah. So I feel like you've already played at least half of that year. I mean, I don't think you need to come back.
You just didn't want to come back and do 3-on-3 close off.
Oh, no. If I came back for a fifth year, I wasn't practicing.
Seriously. I mean, you guys think about it. Jay Helps going to have 6 years. He could potentially have 6 years. Sam Howell could potentially have 6 years. How good could you guys be?
With those guys returning?
TJ's going to have an opportunity to have 5 years.
With those guys, if they chose to come back, we'd be okay. We'd be pretty good.
All the power.
I don't know if we'd be as good as with those two, winning it all, but we'd be pretty good.
Jay, what happened to have you here? It was a question whether or not you were going to show up.
Having me here.
Dre, how long you been in town? You all? When did you get back?
Yesterday.
So
you guys are permanent residents.
The other big announcement the NCAA made, the ruling they made, was to grant a one-time waiver for transfers.
Yeah. If I can tell you, if that had happened with this crew, these four, at least two would have been gone, and maybe a third would have been gone if that one-time transfer rule was in effect.
Before we get to them, does Trey Murphy play this year?
I don't know. I don't know. If the NCAA were to somehow say, hey, we'll give waivers for everybody across the board, then we would have to try to do that. But if they don't do that, I don't know. I think he wants to sit out. I think he wants to work with Mike Curtis. He wants to get.
But if you get an additional year, why not just play?
It makes sense, but the NCAA would have to grant that waiver. And it's something that has to be granted across the board, I think, for any person that transferred this past season.
So the year, the transfer rule is taking
it starts with the guys that, not not transfers currently that are on your roster, but guys that are coming in. Yeah.
Okay. So the two guys you're thinking that might transfer?
No doubt Devin and Drake. And Ty was a questionable. He wouldn't have transferred. Cause
if he has his way, I would have transferred.
That I'm not aware of. But London wouldn't have, because London, when did you start? Like after game three?
No, not until ACC.
Huh?
Not until ACC.
Was it later?
At ACC, but first game at ACC is when I started.
When you start, yeah. But he wouldn't have left. The other two, Devin and Dre, definitely gone.
I
would have
kept calling you here.
Devin and I were talking last night about his first game. His first actual game.
Yep.
And he said, I don't know if I was ready. My redshirt first year. Right? Remind and he said his first me, game.
What JMU.
Ask JMU.
JMU.
His first game, he started as a redshirt first year.
Yeah, because somebody didn't play.
I had a triple single.
Somebody didn't play that game.
That's tough.
And Dev started.
Three games.
And that was a tough game on the road to start the year.
We smacked them. That was not tough.
No, early in the game.
No, the environment was tough.
That's how games start. It starts off 0-0. Like, it's gonna be close. Like,
tough. No, London.
Man, it was gonna be close.
Like, I remember it was loud. The band was loud. Like, yeah. it was a crazy environment.
That was that game.
Was
it
a
crazy environment? Was it a close game?
It was close early. I think we pulled away.
It wasn't close.
No, so at the end of the game, it wasn't close.
No, we pulled away. It was close early.
Justin played well that game.
And so. Then, but I just remember it being a crazy environment.
Dev, you said Dev would have definitely transferred.
No doubt.
Damn.
So, Dev, when was it that you found out you were going to redshirt?
The day of the game. It was the week leading up to it.
It was after practice.
It was the week leading up to it.
Leading up to the first game.
Yes.
It was after practice.
And then that day of the game, my parents were on the way. I didn't know that I was not going to play at all, and he was thinking about redshirt because we didn't come to a decision. Until after that game.
We spoke prior to that game.
Before the game.
We spoke prior, the week prior.
But my parents didn't know, because I remember my parents being on the way and then having that conversation.
It was tough because we had just, who did we scrimmage? We scrimmaged
Georgetown and VCU.
It was after a scrimmage.
No, Georgetown and Marquette.
I played decent in both of those.
It was after a scrimmage. It was after the last scrimmage, and I think we decided after that scrimmage, the week leading up to the first game.
Yep. And then I remember it was game day. I didn't know.
It was tough.
Until that game day.
It was definitely game day. Because I remember that.
Because like Devin, and we would smack the team. They're like, they're not gonna put Devin in. And then after the guy was like, yeah, I got Ranger. I'm failing. No, I'm just like, that's crazy.
That's exactly how it went down. It was.
Just I learned right before the game in the gym that I was not gonna play that game because they're thinking about
who's
gonna come to the decision of Richard. That's exactly what happened.
That coach, right?
Well, let me ask you, Deb. We were talking about it last night. Did you think you were ready?
No. I mean, I thought that I was going to get to a position where I was going to fight for my position. I was going to fight for, like, where I was going to, like, get into the rotation, wherever it could be. But hindsight, no, I wasn't ready.
At what point did you realize you weren't ready? Was there a specific game or a specific play that happened and you were like, wow, these dudes are just, I'm not ready for this?
Oh, no. I mean, it was just like in practice, putting 3-on-3 close out, I'm getting cooked. I'm just bogging, I'm turning the ball over wild in practice, not really having any impact on defense. So it's just like, all right, well, how am I going to play over this dude? And it just wasn't coming to fruition. But obviously, competitive nature, I'm like, look, no, I'm going to fight, and I'm going to end up back into the rotation. But it don't work like that, obviously.
At what point do you think, okay, maybe this was a good idea?
When I redshirted?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really, I mean, I was just always focused on getting better. I didn't, I mean.
But by the time you were the third year, fourth year, you were like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, this panned out. This panned out.
Do you get drafted if you weren't redshirted?
I mean, I would have wasted my whole first year, so probably not.
Yeah. It's funny because I think I told you, and I know I told Dre, because Dre and I went out to lunch, but when we he was going through his red shirt, and I might have told you the same, my scenario.
Yeah.
And had I had a fifth year, I would have benefited big time from having a fifth year. I played 36 minutes my freshman year.
Right.
I mean, that's
36 less, total minutes.
36 total. I mean, that's less than a full game. So
right.
It absolutely worked out for both of you. But I mean, it's hard going through that.
Oh, no, it's tough.
And the hardest part is being with Sanchez every day and Mike can. Curtis every day and going through those, you know, not playing. That, I mean, the mental piece is the hard part.
Yeah.
But I would have benefited and. Absolutely, you both benefited from that extra year.
And you guys, your first year, Dev and London, you guys were battling out for the same position, right?
Yeah, but he was just far ahead, way farther ahead than I was.
He lied to me.
The only problem that we both had when we would come home and we were talking in our dorm room, like, yo, we are not ready to play college. Are we good? Like, but
just because of the three on three
closeout, and it ain't just you guys. We're going through that now, and you two have been to practice, and you've seen, well, you three have been to practice, and you've seen what some of the first years are going through.
Yeah, for sure.
But it ain't just you that struggle with three-on-three close. And I don't know how many programs actually emphasize what we emphasize from a defensive standpoint. But three-on-three closeout is one of the hardest things to do in basketball. I mean, it's literally guard a guy in a third of the court from a closeout, take away the shot and the drive, but don't get beat.
Out of these three guards, was there one of them you said, he's never going to get it?
He's never going to get it? Top. Ain't even close. Take away the shot and take away the drive.
Yeah.
He just got good at pretending he was taking away the shot. But he wouldn't get beat.
Did he get better? Never.
You gotta learn to dribble.
It's a mind game.
No,
learn to dribble.
Everybody gets better, but it's once you figure out, all right, I trick them like I'm there, but then I'm not getting beat. Just don't get beat.
Shit that does not work in the NBA. You gotta pick and choose.
Yeah.
Well, you gonna close it up or you gonna run them
off? But your game is different because I'm assuming you guys are running dudes off the 3-point line. You could care less about if they beat you. It's just run them off the line. Coach Bennett is like, take away the shot, but don't get beat. It's a hard. I mean, it's a hard drill.
I want to go back to me though. I think our last year, bro. If we didn't have Dre, I'd have been the best on ball defender.
Best on ball?
He ain't don't count because he couldn't guard nobody over 6'2". He don't count.
I disagree.
Who pulled him higher? Don't say Kyle.
On ball?
Bro.
Brax.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. Brax.
What about Mama?
You reach? I don't know. I don't know. Mommy can say on ball because Mommy gonna block some shots at the rim.
It's not on ball, he just get beat.
Ooh, D? Yeah. He was like Just.
Yeah.
Just would get beat and just beat it at the rim. Like Just.
Because they could recover so well.
Justin Anderson couldn't do a 3-on-3 closeout. You beat him and he would just run you down and block it at the rim.
He couldn't do 3-on-3 closeout or he couldn't play defense?
He couldn't do 3-on-3 closeout. I'm not gonna say he couldn't defend.
He was a good hillside defender.
No.
London, at what point did you think, from the time you said you weren't ready as a first year, at what point did you say, okay, I'm ready to go now? During your first year?
I mean, probably my first ACC game was when my coming out party and I hit a couple of threes and played well as I started. And then after that, I just was like, all right, now I kind of like settled in and kind of feel like I belong and kind of just went out from there. So But I feel like that one game was kind of like mine. It was like everything kind of lifted off my shoulders, and it was just like, all right, let's play. And Coach Bennett talking to me before the game, that was always big too. So I'm telling you that we got the keys now. That always helps too.
It's your ball.
Yeah.
Go play.
Yeah, so.
Say again.
Me and Coach
Bennett
never had that
conversation. How was it
coaching
these guys?
It was good.
It's a very vague question, I know.
No. But they were all super competitive. Ty Jerome would cheat to win anything.
Damn cheat for anything.
No. You would cheat. But they were all competitive, and I like that. Like, I like tough, I like competitive. I struggle with soft. And none of these guys were soft. London's IQ and feel was big time. I still think he's one of the best we've had, along with Ty, in regards to feel and IQ. And Devin's work ethic, he was relentless and wanting to be on the floor, and he did a little bit of everything. And then DeAndre's versatility, I thought, was the difference. And I've been with Tone for 12 years. I thought the difference for us when we took it to another level was his ability to guard multiple positions. When we could switch, because before Dre, we never switched anything. It was guard your guy, hedge, get back, and we give up some opportunities, you know, on ball screens in particular. With DeAndre, his defense took us to another level. He could guard 1-4, and I thought that was the difference in us making the run we made, and having a guy like Dre. And so, you know, we had Akil, we had Darion, we were great on ball screens, but they couldn't necessarily switch. And maybe if we let it kill those that play with kill, he might have been able to do something with Dre did. We just didn't do it. That wasn't our philosophy at the time. But I think Dre's ability defensively, not just what he did on offense, but his defense was big time.
Dre, two shots I want to talk about. For Duke, the one-on-one move you make in overtime. It was just like
the no charge.
I'm just gonna get to the ground. I'm just gonna score this bucket no matter what. Like, the play was called for you clearly.
Yeah.
Right? Are you in your head going, I'm just gonna go over this guy no matter what because he can't guard me?
Nah, I knew he couldn't guard me. But also, I don't think I would did anything for the majority of the game. So I just was like, in my head, I was like, I'm gonna score like no matter what. I was gonna find a way to go. Like, even if I had to run the move, I was gonna score. I was gonna see the ball go to the bucket.
Yeah, you really
did. Hey, Juan, I want to say something, because Dre, and you admitted to it just now, like you struggled that game. Mm-hmm. And you said something to him, Ty, in a timeout in that game where you said, hey, we need you. Like, come on, let's go. And so, like, we often talk, you guys, you hear it all the time, we talk about player-led teams. Tony's always big on that. Like, coach-led teams are good, player-led teams are great. And those guys, like, you took control of the huddle. We're trying to snap you out of whatever you were going through, and Ty just said, look, we need you, let's go. And for whatever reason, you responded in overtime. So, I thought that was you.
What was the play call to tie up the game against Texas Tech to send it overtime? Was there a play call?
I want to say we ran just the M middle ball screen. M would have M maybe would have M in screen or whatever we call it, but it was a middle ball screen.
It was just M screen.
And then Ty made the right play and Dre knocked down the shot. But we went. They were bothering us defensively.
Yep.
And we were running some three game, and I think we stopped running three game and went all middle ball screen. We kept the ball in the middle of the floor, and we played middle ball screen.
What did you see on that drive?
I was just
shocked they helped. I thought they had to lay it up.
Yeah, that's a bad defensive position.
Terrible. I mean, and that's a good defensive team, too. That's why I was so shocked, because I was like, I remember before the game, they were like, best two defenses in like numbers wise in like, you know, last 40 years or something like that. So that's why, but their whole thing was is based on like pushing it down and running open from the weak side because they were so used to it. That was just natural. And everyone just ran in and I was just shot.
Yeah, we so they always iced on one side and they switched a lot and we stopped. We kind of just kept the
ball
in
the middle of the floor. Can you describe what he said, ice? What does that mean?
So if the ball's on the outer third of the floor, they're trying to funnel everything to the side, to the baseline, keep it on one side, deny reversal. And that gave us some problems in our three, we call it three game. And so we end up, gave it to you, play in the middle of the floor, some middle ball screens with Mamadine. And even with Brax and Dre, because we went small that game. I think both Dre and Brax played, we were really small. And so we just middle ball screen.
I guess I do ISOs and stuff.
And we got you some elbow catches, some flashes, I think. And then they just made plays. I mean, they made plays to their credit. But London's mumbling. I can hear him over there. He wish he had M back then. To play middle ball screen, but we evolved from the time London and Dev were playing to when Tosh.
Did you think you were gonna be that open?
I didn't know. I thought there was no way. But we also ran that play, what? That was like the third time we ran it.
At
that
same.
Yeah. And Todd missed
the floater.
And he missed the floater. So I was like, there's no way they, I feel like they were just gonna let him shoot the floater, like just live with it.
They helped every time?
Yeah.
And so when you released the ball, did you know it was good? I told you yesterday I was in the gym watching you guys shoot, and your form looks so fluid and effortless. That's how it looked on that shot. And I'm watching, I'm, you know, 25 feet behind you when you took that shot.
It looked like you were guiding on the TV, though.
No, I didn't. It's a natural, bro.
I couldn't even imagine in a football stadium, you know, like.
Oh, bro.
That was, you probably had to adjust to that.
I couldn't feel
nothing. Hey, but
it's crazy. It's just a good question, my nigga.
No, I felt like these guys, I thought y'all shot okay in that big stadium.
Oh,
like,
yeah, but before I did, she was.
But I think.
We all did.
No, everybody
did.
Yeah. Here's why.
Even Keay did.
Here's why, though.
He had big shots.
I think because we play Syracuse every year. I think that helps. Playing in that dome, it's just a different background. I think having to play Syracuse helps us.
That's a fact.
It helped us in that stadium, I think.
You think that game at Hughes was like one of the best offensive games ever that we had?
Clearly one of the best shooting nights between you two,
Kyle.
And Kyle.
Kyle.
I don't think we missed for a long, like, for a stretch of time.
Oh, it was up like four or like
two. It was one of the best shoot nights I'd ever seen.
It was gross.
And it was a close game.
It was up four with like 12 minutes left.
And then y'all just shot
like
the lights out.
And they did not, they scored like twice.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. I got a question for him, Mark, before you go. I want to ask each of them, what was the biggest adjustment? High school to college, and then college to pro. I'll start with you.
I think high school and college is the first time you're playing against men. Like in high school, it's like usually the strong dudes can't play. You know what I'm saying? You get to college, it's like you're playing against 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds, and shots become more consistent. Like when you can play in college, you don't really miss open shots. I think guys just get better, like older, faster, stronger. And then the NBA is the same thing. It's another jump of better, faster, stronger, more skilled players. Then you've got to select 15 people in the world.
Who's a superstar.
Unreal.
Right.
So yeah, it's just, obviously there's also off the court stuff in the NBA too, but I think just the next level is just another level of skill, physicality, athleticism, and the jump just, you know, I think it's bigger from college to the NBA
than
high school to college, but I've heard different.
I think coming from high school is like you to probably the best on your team, and then when you get to college, it's like you get the best of everybody from everywhere. So it's learning how to play with good guys, learning like where you fit into the role, and that's where you really see how good you are early. So I think it's learning how to do that. And obviously, what everything you said too as well, but then when you go to the NBA or professional level, the physicality and the speed is so different. It's like guys are just, you playing against real men. Yeah, and the game is so fast, you really gotta catch up.
For me, I always have to say from high school to college is definitely the physicality. Because I was skinny coming here. Like you said, it's like, you're the best player where you from, like, not even close. So when I got here, I was going to get Mario, Dev, dudes who've been here, like, working out, know the system and all that, so they was killing me. But from college to the league, I would probably have to say, probably the speed of the game, especially coming from here, just not getting up and down like that, but in the NBA, every team is trying to score in the first 8 seconds of the shot clock, so I'll definitely say the speed of the game.
Yeah, I mean the physicality for sure from high school to college, because that's like the first time you actually like lifting. Like having a lifting program. I know in high school you do like a week, whatever you can in PE or something like that. So like, other than that, you finally get to be around like Coach Curtis and getting bit, like everybody gets stronger at that point. And then, yeah, I have to agree with Dre, the pace of NBA is just completely different. Obviously coming from here is a little bit different, but it's just, everything is just up and down, running, sprinting. No, really, really no plays. Like all the plays is just reads, like reading off pick and rolls and reading off a couple of down screens and stuff like that. But
it's early action.
Yeah, a lot of early action. So yeah, just the pace and just, I think that's probably the biggest.
I ask you guys that because I tell recruits the biggest thing, the adjustment is the physicality, going from high school to college, the physicality, but then the speed of the game. The offense, you know, it's, if you can play, you can play, you'll catch up. But then from the defensive standpoint, it's just, you guys have heard this for years, stay continuous. Like you can't just make one effort. And I think the biggest thing is, like, all right, I gotta make multiple efforts all the time. And I think at least, I never played in the league, I played overseas, but from high school to college, like I got away with murder in high school because I could make one effort or two efforts and I was good. Either we got a steal, we blocked the shot, we were gone. That ain't the case. Like you gotta keep playing, you gotta stay continuous. And then like you guys play 24-second shot clock, it's like down the floor, quick action, and then let's play. And then I can't imagine playing against the elite of the elite. I mean, that's just a whole nother level.
I also think it's the fact of what's a good shot in the league and what's a bad shot. Like we talked about during the closeout, yeah. He would say, like, as long as you act like you're there,
right.
Like, you guys won't be that mad. You know what I'm saying? As long as you showed your hand. In the league, it's like most guards that can really shoot that thing, like.
Well, it's a make or miss league. Like, yeah. Those dudes make contested. That's what y'all do. Y'all make contested shots. Whereas in college, a contested shot is good for us, right?
Yeah, it's not like guys who make it.
It's a lower percentage. That next level is a different thing. What was the, I'm sorry to ask all the questions.
Keep going, no. It's this Jay Willie show.
What was like college class and all of that, like how was the adjustment at being a pro with no regimen? Because there's really no regimen. Y'all are kind of on your own. What was that adjustment like?
It's a big adjustment just because you definitely have free time. Like as much as you say you spend it in the gym, like you can't spend a lot of time in the gym, but even then it'll be like 3, 4, 5 hours max, especially during the season. You're not spending that much time in the gym probably other than recovery and stuff like that. So but for me, it was just trying to figure out how to keep my mental sharp and do stuff like that because you got – especially if you are alone or whatever, and you don't have family out there, like you got a lot of downtime to just think and do a lot of stuff. Just trying to figure out how to keep that sharp. Which I started reading books for the first time. That's how much free time I had. So
that's a first.
Yeah,
we had to beg you to read books.
Hey, man, when
you
were in school. I got a diploma, so I don't even have
from UVA.
Exactly.
What was your adjustment like, Drake, in regards to that?
I mean, mine was pretty easy, to be honest. I don't necessarily do anything, but when I don't have free time, when I do have free time, I do the same stuff. And also, my mom's in Atlanta with me, so if I actually did get bored enough where I was like, I'm bored, like, I could just go see my mom. But for me, I don't do much, so
I'd be chilling.
So you enjoy no school? From a social standpoint though, like you guys, did y'all miss? Like did you miss UVA? Like did you miss?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Even just the brotherhood between us.
Just like, your teammates.
Yeah, your teammates. Yeah. Like that's probably the biggest thing.
Sure. Is it different though, like in the league, because guys got families, you don't spend as much time, like it's just not the same?
You have to practice. Like, man, you see them tomorrow and next day.
Yeah, six dudes in an apartment. Like, yeah.
I'm about to say in college, I don't think I ate one meal alone. Like in my 3 years here. My first year, I think 90% of my meals, the four of us ate together. And then next year, like I don't think I ate one meal alone in college. The league is just like... I mean, it's pros and cons because like you gotta learn to be alone, live alone, and like sometimes your alone time is cool and right. You enjoy it. So it's pros and cons, but I think you just miss the, especially come from a place like this, because like I don't know how other colleges work, but I feel like we're one of the closer, like most close knit groups in the country. When you come from a place like that, and you go to a team or you go to the NBA where like half your teammates got families and after practice they want to see the kids. And, you shower and go back to your apartment the first time you're doing it. I mean, it's pros and cons, like I said, it's not like a bad thing, but right. You just miss the weather.
The paychecks help, no doubt. Dev?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Like, well, my first one was in Australia, so I'm all the way down under and away from my family. The time zone is way different. All my seniors got their family life or whatever case it be. So there's a lot of time you can either work on yourself or be in your own head. So I mean, I spend time doing both. So to be honest, I mean,
trust me, I was in Iceland and Korea, so it don't get much worse than that.
I was in a beautiful Australia, you know what I mean? So I was able to like, be able to see some stuff, but also lose a lot of stuff, a lot of time in
You guys all brought up the brotherhood, your tight knit culture. No, I was so amazed by it when Ty's first year, he was a fourth year, how that's passed down from guys to guys. And I remember the first time you were coming home, and you're like, I'm going with Dev to Virginia Beach, and I'm going to fly from there. And I was like, that is so, as a parent, I'm so happy, I feel so good about the position he's in, that he's protected, that he's in a good place, that he's got great friends in school, because as a parent, you always want your kid to be happy, right? And I feel like you, I don't know if you were the lone fourth year that year, or one of them, but I felt like you created this culture that was passed down from the coaching staff, but it was probably going on for years,
Every year.
I'm not sure, I don't want to say we take a whole lot of credit for that. I think it's the pillars, Coach tries to instill those pillars, but I think those guys from, Sammy Zaglinski to Will Sherrill to Mustafa to those guys who were before them, Malcolm and all of those, it's just, they've instilled that. And I think you embrace those and then you pass it on and you try to pass that on to Kihei and he's trying to do the same. And it's, you hear the word culture all the time, but it is that.
Do you see a difference from year to year at times within teams?
Yeah, I mean,
and how that impacts the success of a team?
Yeah, because there's different leadership styles. Like there's like London was not as vocal, but he worked. Ty was vocal, and he jumped dudes. And he had to learn how, I can't jump him, I gotta put my arm around him. So like he had to learn a leadership style. Dev had a leadership style. Dre listened to Ty. and it is what it is. But like I think the leadership over the years, those guys, there's different styles, but I think everybody bought into, We're trying to make this group a better group.
I'm gonna go back to that shot against Texas Tech to set the game into overtime. You guys, your relationship, everybody knows, is first of all, I was hanging out in the car with you guys today, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how you guys act like little 5 year olds sometimes, right?
So when, nothing's changed.
No, not at all. Nothing's changed, and I can't believe if I ever acted like that, I gotta smack myself in the head. Did that play a role in your relationship in the past to Dre and you catching it and knocking it down? Do you guys think that that played a role in your relationship? Or you think that was, you would have made that pass to anybody?
Well, sweet. I mean, then you gotta ask him that, because he would have passed that to whoever else was in the corner. I mean,
you gotta make the pass to anybody, but obviously it's a confidence thing.
But knowing each other so well.
Yeah, like if it was roles were reversed, and like let's say it was
halftime. Yeah. Halftime.
Yeah, she made a good pass at like, halftime and closed out the first half.
I'm saying for the game, you know, like, it's just like, I don't know, like, I work out with Todd, like, we work out with each other, so, like, we know we can make that shot, like, we've seen it, like, plenty of times, so it's like, just passing it to me or me passing to him is like, I got, like, a lot of confidence, but I don't know if he would have, like, if he saw someone else there, if he would have passed it, but I mean, I feel like Rose would burst out with that.
I think it's two things, right? Honestly, like in all seriousness, the team we had that year, like the 7-8 guys that we played, everyone believed in everybody. So like whoever you see making that pass, honestly. But obviously, I think how close me and Dre are, it's cool that, you know, you look at the highlights and you're making that pass to your best friend. Like, that's cool, you know what I mean?
They're like kids. It doesn't end. I thought this ended.
I was with them today. Got the music all the way up. Just telling jokes nonstop. I'm like, oh my god. Turn down. I'm like, I feel like an old man. Turn down the music. Stop being so silly. Incredible.
But I'll say this in all seriousness. I think there's a built-in trust when you guys put in the type of work you put. Like you guys, that summer after the UMBC game, that summer you two worked extremely hard together. I don't know who else was with you. I think it was just you two. But there's a trust that I know if I make this play and I throw it to him, he'll knock it down. Or at least I got confidence that I can throw it to him and he's ready. I think it was, yes, their relationship, but they put in a lot of work over the summer.
Did you have a welcome to UVA moment? Or what was your welcome to UVA moment that on the basketball court?
Shit, when I got here?
Your first game was kind of ugly.
It started way before that, though. Way before that.
Who did you play for
now? UNC Greensboro. It was ugly for me, not for the team. When we first got here, though, I was coming off hip surgery. Double hip surgery, so I hadn't ran in like 4 months. I get here and we're going to Spain. So we're doing full practices in the summer. Like no adjustment time, like we're doing full practices and I'm coming off hip surgery. Like obviously throwing through closeout, getting up and down, like I'm trying to stay healthy. I'm in the training room for like 2 hours every day. Remember you guys used to yell at me, like, how are you ever trying to eat? Right.
That's right.
It was a lot that summer. But like no lie, like they made it easier for sure. And my first game, it was ugly as hell. I thought I wasn't gonna play ever again. But I remember we was in the car too, and he was telling me like, yo, last year Dan didn't play, so like ACC, they started starting. So like, they would tell me like, just keep going, basically. So.
Jay, how did you stay positive? Were you able to stay positive your first year?
In the restaurant, it was tough. I'm not gonna lie, a lot of days I did not want to be there. But I mean, at the end of the day, I just looked at it like I gotta go through it. I could have left, like I had the opportunity to leave, but I was like, I would have felt like soft, like for myself, like if I just like redshirted and then just left. Like I feel like that's not like the person I am, so I was like, I'm gonna just go through it and we're gonna see what happens after this.
What were the messages from the players, from Big Brothers and your coaches?
So I remember we went to dinner.
Oh my god, BJ's.
Yeah, we was at BJ's like the day that...
Who's we?
That's where. When TB had told me that I was going to probably redshirt. And I don't think I said a word, like the whole dinner. And then at the end I was like, yeah, like probably redshirt. And then I think Dub was just like, yeah bro, like same thing happened to me basically, like just keep your head up, like you're going to be good, like just when is it time to play, just hoop.
I was probably hot I'm probably sitting at the table mad for you.
Definitely. I don't know. But yeah, he was just like, just go hoop when you got the chance. And that
was it. Yeah. What do you think about the red shirt now? You think it would matter whether you red shirted or not?
I think it definitely helped me, for sure. I don't know if I was ready to play. Who knows?
Oh, but that's
awesome. I don't know. I think it, I mean, in the end, you can't say it didn't help me, so definitely I would say it helped me.
I think I was talking to Orlando Vandross from practice. And he told me at the practice, he's like, I think it was your red shirt. It was either your first year, No, I think it was the start of the second, your second year. So your red shirt sophomore year. And he was like, Dre really could be one and done, if not two and done. And I was like, he's that good? He said, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, he's been two
and done. That means he could have played my senior year. If he's a two and done, he could have played my senior year.
When Austin went down, bro, your senior year.
He should have played.
And like, if we would have known, because remember, even your red shirt freshman year, we didn't know right away, like, how to use you as like a 4/3. Mm. And like, you was like struggling. Like, I was struggling too, but like, we were both struggling. And then once you said, I think it was at Virginia Tech, it was like, we're gonna play Dre before. And then he went, you had a great game. And then from there, it was like.
Well, it's funny that you guys bring that up, because I recruited you, and I watched you play, and I know Coach. And I said, the coach, I think Dre's more of a true tweener. Like a 3-4, and he and Ron saw you play, and you played out your mind in Vegas. And he's like, we found a 2-guard. He's a 6'7" 2-guard. And I said, are we talking about the same? I said, are we talking about the same guy? I said, because I think Dre's more for tone. I think he's like, he'll have to play both forward spots. And Ron was like, no, he can play the two. He's So I said, okay. So after Virginia, you just talked about it, after Virginia Tech, we kind of played small ball. Like we.
That was my first good game.
Yeah, and Coach said to me, because he came to the locker room, he said, all right, I don't want to hear it, but you were right. And he said, we found our lineup. Like, that's what we're going to go with. And so we end up playing you as a mismatch. Kind of small ball four, stretch four. The game has changed so much where it's positionless, and you did not want to hear that at the time when you were being recruited. But if we would have told you you were going to play some four, we would have never, you would have went somewhere else.
No chance, because they were the ones setting the screens and all that.
And so, but we end up playing you in three games, which I think you were okay in.
Yeah, the main thing is y'all got me the ball and got the ball.
So
that was the biggest adjustment.
So screen, get the ball and play.
Just give me the ball and everybody get it.
All right. So we adjusted, but we just couldn't tell him he was gonna play four, because that was like,
it was a lot.
You know, mentally he had checked out.
You said for tone. I feel like he went to Notre Dame or like some other schools, like you could have been a true three. It's the way we play, like he was just so much better at the four, offensively and defensively. How we talked about it earlier, like the difference he can make switching and all that. Like he was the reason that we could adjust on defense.
But I'll tell you this, right now, Dre is the reason we're trying to recruit different. We want to recruit dudes that have his skill set, that can do a little bit of everything. Before, we would have just got a good athlete that's 6'8", 6'9", and said, go blow up ball screens and get back. But not necessarily do anything else. Now we want complete.
You're not going to find a lot of those.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it's hard. But I think that's where the game is going. Like you see, that's all that's in the league. And even the league's playing small.
I feel like Mike Scott, I mean, I didn't watch Mike Scott in college that much, but I feel like the way he could score was probably similar.
But he couldn't defend on the perimeter the same way. So, it was a difference.
Len, I'm going back to your fourth year. You had great teams and you had great success your first 3 years. Going to your fourth year, what were your expectations, and was there Was there disappointment?
Like, yeah, for sure, disappointment.
Not at the end, but during the season. How were you?
Oh, yeah, there was ups and downs every season, except for maybe. I mean, there's ups and downs, but there are a lot of our years we were steady up for most of the year. So that year was definitely different. I mean, it started off with a down just from losing Austin.
We're near the hospital.
Oh, nothing.
Wow. Sound like it's raining
all this. When Austin Nichols was ineligible, were your thoughts like, okay, we'll still get through this? Or were you like,
I thought they was going to let Dre play at that point, to be honest. Just because we needed another big, I felt like. And I guess he didn't know that he could play the four yet.
So. But at Dre, at that point,
he was a guard.
Coach wanted, he was giving you every opportunity to play on the perimeter. Yeah. There was no, I recruited him as a perimeter. We're going to honor that. And then eventually, as that year progressed, over the summer, over the offseason, he's like, we may need to just try to do it, move him around a little bit. Yeah. And it ended up working out for you. But at that point, we weren't even thinking of moving into that spot.
I mean, we were still good. We still had a good team. We still ended up winning games. I mean, obviously we went out sad, but it happens. Everything comes to an end, and I did everything I could to try and lay the foundation for dudes like Ty and Kyle and Dre, and they finished it off for us. So I'm not even mad at it.
You know, before we get to that,
I wanted to say they brought it up, but I thought you talked about Spain, right? Going to Spain. I thought the Spain trip made us a tight
for sure. For sure.
Like we bonded and we had a great time. Not just basketball, but I think like just getting to know each other. We bonded in Spain. We had a good time.
Yes, we did.
And we didn't, obviously, we didn't finish it the way we wanted London senior year, but I thought that trip brought that group, especially the returning guys, made them even closer. And we threw Dre in the Mediterranean, he came to the Mediterranean
to save
his life. We put a life vessel on him. We're on a catamaran in the Mediterranean. That was one of the best times I had.
For sure.
We're on a catamaran in the Mediterranean. Dre's got a light vest on. And we're all like, just go. You'll be fine. And we throw him in. And he, like, literally, he's in the air. And he turns and he's trying to run back to the boat. As it was the funniest thing. But it made all of us tighter, I thought. And I thought that spearheaded what was to come for the future.
London and Dev, how do we get Michigan State off the bat?
You might want to talk a little more about that game.
Two years in a row.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I mean, we were at the first game
one
in New York.
Should have won. The second one.
Was that the first one? What?
But the first one at Madison Square Garden was the game we should have won.
Tev got fouled and Jeezy turned his ankle.
Yeah, if Jeezy doesn't turn his ankle, we win that game for sure. But he was hurt and got hurt big game. And Adrian Payne was always going nuts.
Brandon Dawson.
He was going, yeah, both of them.
But they had a good team. I mean, both years they had good
But then again, that plays into the fact of having somebody like Dre, because most of the time, if we had a big man, we played against a big man that popped and was able to create for himself and shoot the three, like, we struggled because we didn't switch. So, like, again, that evolution of how y'all ended up winning it is having somebody that was able to switch. And I feel like that's when we kind of ran into our most problems for the first, all my 4 years was playing against a four-man that could pop, shoot the ball, and put it on the floor. Right. So.
That was always
always.
It for us has always been an Achilles within our system. Mm-hmm. Pick and pop guys, fours or fives.
And then the next year in Charlotte,
it was close. But I think a big part of that was we were trying to implement Justin back into the lineup, and we were, after he got hurt, we started rolling. Like, not, we were rolling with him, and then Evan stepped in and played really well for us. And then Justin came back right at the beginning of the ACC tournament or something like that. So we played, what, two games with him. And we were just kind of, yeah, we were just kind of trying to implement them, and it kind of ruined our rhythm a little bit, I think. Obviously, we needed them if we were going to go, if we were going to try and win a championship. So I think him getting hurt obviously kind of ruined that for us. So.
What was your best team when you were in?
I'll have to say my first year, to be honest. My first or third, I don't
what,
know.
Your first year, we finished the year, where did we end up going?
Sweet 16. That's when we lost to Michigan State.
That's the Michigan State. Yeah.
Joe, Malcolm, Just, Toby, Kiel.
You take that team over the Chicago team?
I think I was better my junior year. So that would be the only reason why I would say my junior year. But I feel like top to bottom, our first year team was probably a little bit better.
With Joe?
Our first year team.
I remember that team was so good. I just remember Kiel guarding the Barton Market.
In the ACC tournament? Yeah. You did a heck of a job. I struggled. I still don't know. We had some good teams, but none of them could have beat my 95 team.
Dev, what do you got to say about that?
That's a bad.
Which team would yours want to beat the 95 team?
I'll always go with the team I want rather than somebody else.
True.
AKA all of them.
Any year?
Jay, who was going to guard you from that team?
Yourself.
From who team?
From Jay Willie's 95 team.
Not Jay Willie.
I hope it's not Jay Willie.
I'm locking you up.
Jay Willie, you have been fouled out.
And I'm hitting you in the chest every time. The rules were different back then.
So which year are we playing in?
We're playing in the 95.
All right, so playing the other year you called out. Two hands now you put on in college, all that fell. You can't do that.
No, I've even admitted that the championship team would have beat the 95. Oh, yeah,
even just the way that they played would have frustrated them.
The championship team beats the 95 team?
For sure.
That's the best team of all time of UVA?
I don't know about that. I won't say that because some of Ralph's teams were really good, but I think they beat only because we were inside dominant with Junior Burrow, and the post trap negates any interior. Like, you guys, no one has beat us on the interior.
So you're talking about coaching being a big factor?
I'm not necessarily coach, just system. I don't know if it's coach, but Junior wouldn't have beat that team. They would have took the ball out of Junior's hands. Somebody else would have had to beat
him. But it made Junior have to make plays.
And I would have made plays. But we also had Corey, Harrell, Curtis. I mean, we had a couple really good players on that team. Like, I wouldn't have had to make plays. I would have given it to them, but the post trap would have negated Junior, which was the focal point of our 95 team.
I think we jumped back too many years, though. Like, if you look at the teams on paper, I don't think our team is better than his first year team.
With Joe,
Malcolm, Justin, all of them, Akil, Darion, Mike Toby,
AG.
Like, realistically, we had. I think it was just the evolution of like everything that happened that allowed the team to be so good.
Who's not AG?
For real, Mavi is like that though.
Again, I will tell you, it didn't matter on the interior. Where we always got hurt was dudes that went off on the perimeter. Where dudes would go get their own.
We could have, but that's why I think it comes to evolution. Because like, you guys were nice, right? And then Coach Bennett took that team, and like every year he just learned.
We got better.
And you guys talked about it, but I think when you said player led teams, right? Like by our third year, I think at least in my time there, that was the first year that like you guys came to me, you guys came to Dre, Kyle, whatever, and was like, listen, like, this is your team. Like, especially offensively. Like, defensively, it's never going to change. Like, we got to do what you guys said. You know what I'm saying? But, like, that's the first year, like, I remember you guys will come to us and be like, listen, like, this is your team. Like, that was the first year. And I remember we sat there, me, you, I want to say Johnny, and JPJ, right before our last game, before our last home game that year. And I was telling you, I think it's the first year where, like, we really feel like the coaches really believe in us.
Right.
You know what I mean? Since I was there. So I think it's all that, like, evolution of all that stuff. Like,
but when you say, like, you name AG and Toby, like, Malcolm was really good.
Yeah.
Lund was good.
Yeah.
But AG and Toby, they wouldn't have beat you.
Just on the boards, though. Like, AG was a
man child.
Watching AG, he finished
everything. But Mamadi and Jack's physicality.
Yes, sir.
And then
we talk about Jack and AG's skill.
I understand. Like,
Jack was the best teammate I've ever had, and he was a great leader, big physical dude. But a lot of times, when we wanted to play like against a really good team, we would only
finish with Monty.
Right.
But
that's what I'm saying. It's hard to compare because of the evolution of the teams. Like if we was playing the way that Ty played his third year and
I'll admit this, Ty. I have, and Deb, you can attest to this. I will say if we gave London and Malcolm more ball screen, that could have been a different.
That could have been a different
from an offensive standpoint.
At what point, and I know you guys are excited to talk to each other, and I'm really happy about that. At what point do you guys say as coaching staff, we're going to go with more ball screens? And why?
So we went to the ball screen stuff. Ty, you can attest to the Dre. We went to the ball screen stuff immediately after UMBC. Because UMBC, we struggled to score, and we had two offenses, pretty much. That was it.
Sophomore year?
We had two offenses. Which were?
3 and 2.
That was every year for me.
So we decided.
The blocker mover?
Adjustments at?
I don't want to give it away, but we had two offenses. And then we decided we needed to do something where those didn't work to get more ball screens to guys that could use ball screens. And London would have thrived in that. And so would Malcolm. But the other offenses we had were pretty good. It got us to Elite Eights and Sweet 16s and won ACCs. But UMBC woke us up to when that ain't working, we need to have something else. And we need to play to the strengths of some of these guys, and we end up going to more ball screen. And so the last few years, we've become a lot more ball screen dominant.
Lennon, what were your thoughts about watching, what were you thinking watching the Final Four run? Or the Elite Eight, the Sweet 16, Elite Eight?
I just wish I was there, to be honest.
And you tricked me too, by the way.
That picture.
So, I gotta tell the story. Lund sends a picture with him on the floor, and I'm like, wait a second. I know I saw everybody that was in this picture. I don't remember seeing him. I'm like, what'd you get? He's like, that's Photoshop, Jay. Really? I wasn't there.
I wish I was there. Yeah. But I missed the Purdue game. I had to rewatch it after the fact. I was playing in France at the time, so I was just looking at the game cast of like play by play, and these people just hitting me up. So I was a little nervous with that game because knowing people at home, they just get overhyped over every little thing that happens, and so you know, Masai, everything that happened, he would take me, yo, what's going on, man? What are they doing? I'm like, I'm not even watching. What you want me to do? But I just wish I was there. But I felt like what had happened the year before had just prepared them for that whole year. So I said, I mean, if we would have lost to Purdue by Carson giving us 40, then that was meant to happen. But I knew once we got through that, I felt like it was already ours for sure. We just needed to get over that hump of getting to the Final Four, and I felt like Purdue gave us everything that they could, and if it was gonna stop, it was gonna stop right there. But once you got through that, then
I still say that game was one of the best I've ever been a part of, watched, seen, like, NCAA tournament games ever.
For sure.
The game
was so the high
Purdue
level.
Game.
Yeah, it felt like a pro game, like, in terms of guys not missing, really. It was just, like,
that. It was a stretch, man. Yeah, it was just, like,
it was,
like, three.
And from an atmosphere standpoint, it was all Purdue.
It was.
It was.
And I said that. I said that this is going to be a huge Purdue crowd.
It was unbelievable.
To you before the game. You're like, no, because Purdue, Tennessee.
It was split.
It was absolutely split. And Oregon, UVA, there was nobody there.
No, but
they dropped. But that's what we like, though. We like to play in away games where it's the other team and just being able to silence them. Like, I knew they was gonna thrive in that.
This was 22,000.
I seen the pictures. I seen
it. And
it was
20,000 Purdue. Like, easy.
I still think the funniest story.
Those are the best games, right there.
The funniest story is Kyle Guy's stepmother talking about she had to go to the custodian closet and hide in the custodian closet because she couldn't watch the game. That is hilarious. That's a funny thing. Deb, I feel bad at bringing this up, but just hearing you talk, the language you're using, you guys are such a family, that London, that you're talking about, you're saying we as if you were part of that team, which I think is so special, right? And all those guys feel that. And all those guys always talk about the guys before them laying the groundwork, and that you guys are all part of the family that actually won. It wasn't just the 2016 incoming class that won, or whoever was on that team.
Sure, I lost in NBC too. We're going to be real. Anytime I wore my Virginia stuff, anything, like, it didn't matter. Like, it was like I was part of that team. Like,
great humility, bro, because he doesn't even admit he lost to UMBC. So go ahead.
Yeah, you were there for UMBC, but not there for the championship.
I was there. I was there at the game. I mean, that counted enough. I just wasn't able to play in it.
Right.
I was happy for everybody. I was happy that the whole organization, well, the whole program was able to give a rough up of the UMBC loss, and it's like the highs of the high, low of the low. So I was happy. I was happy for everybody.
What do you think went wrong in UMBC?
A lot. They made every shot we didn't get. I got in foul trouble early, set the whole first half. Me and Zay got in foul trouble. They played, honestly, if we'll be honest, like, we played them 10 times, beat them 9, they beat us that one time, in my opinion. Hats off to them. They played a hell of a game, and they deserved that win, because they outright kicked their ass. So,
what do you think went wrong?
Everything that we said.
I
think it snowballed on us. We got to the point where I think we panicked. These guys talk about me blowing up in the locker room and how I don't think that helped them. It wasn't so much coach. I mean, I went crazy in the locker room.
Halftime.
But I went crazy because I knew I had been UMBC as a coach at American and at Boston University. And I knew what those kids were thinking because we were that. Like, we played Villanova, we played Tennessee. And so I was trying to get across to them, hey, you just gave them life. Like, they got confidence, and now we're in a dogfight. And I don't know if they necessarily knew exactly what was about to happen. I knew, because I coached a group that literally, when I was at American, we thought we should have won 2 games in the NCAA tournament. And we played a really good Nova team. We're up 15. We end up losing, but we're up. And so I kind of knew their mindset. And until you go through it as a player, I think it's human nature to, we're 1, they're 16. You know, we'll turn it on. We just didn't have enough to turn it on that game. And I think it was a hard lesson to learn, but I'm glad we learned it, because it absolutely prepared us for the following year. I think we panicked, and then we didn't know how to react to that.
I saw a poster today walking on grounds that showed, it had, I think it was Faith, and it had the team, the championship team, and it had the graphs of the game against Purdue, the game against Auburn, the game against Texas Tech, the percentage of chances of winning.
Did you ever pinch yourself, Dre? Like, did you won? Did you guys won that year?
I mean, now it's like whatever, but when it happened, it took me a while to like, for actually like I really just won the championship. But yeah, I would think about it every day. I would go back and watch the highlights. Like, I was just like, for like a week straight, just like thinking about it, going back and watching it. So it's like, all that was on my mind. And as of right now, it's like, we won. But,
Do you have a favorite championship run moment in the tournament?
Mine would probably have to be the second half against Gardner Webb.
Yeah.
Because it was a close game. Even the end of the first half, actually. But like just like that whole like coming back from, I think we were down like 16 or something. Coming back from that, that probably was my favorite moment.
Well, hold on. Wait, where's that rate when you get the shot to set the game in the overtime against Texas Tech in the championship?
I mean, we won't get to that point. Going to come back in that game, so I still have to say that.
And would you guys being here, could you sense how tight it was in there in that Gardner Webb game?
I could feel it through the TV.
From the year before, having to go through that from, like, because as a coach, you could cut it with a knife, it was so thick. And we got down again, it's like, oh, here we go.
I vividly remember.
Did you guys feel that way?
That was like a rope game too.
Yeah.
They had that band going crazy. It was like an hour from their school or something like that.
Yep.
And when we went down 14 in the first half, I remember we called timeout. They like split a ball screen, made a floater. And we called timeout and the place was going crazy. Everyone knew for us to lose. Like they were going crazy. I walked back to the huddle, like all these thoughts going in my mind. Like, we're going to lose again. Like, I'm coming back to school. Like, I don't think about it. I don't know everything, right? Like, honestly. And then we go into the timeout, and then I remember you guys just were so different. You guys were like, just like, be calm. And then I started thinking, like, all right, if we're going to go out, we're going to go out, like, how we play. And we just came out in the timeout, made a shot, got a stop, made a shot. We started playing defense. Then we got to halftime, we were down six. But we were in the locker room, like, there's no way to lose. Like, the half times were so different. Like, we were just chilling in the locker room. Like, we were laughing in the locker room and all that. But when we were down 14, I was scared. Like, I was really nervous down 14. Like, I was not nervous all season. That moment right there.
But we had to get back to that. Like, you had to get back and then push through that. And that was what the whole year was, to get right back to where we were. Yeah. And that was a lot of pressure. And no one else in the country understood that pressure, I don't think, because we had to go through it. And because no one had ever done that before, it was real. Like I could sense it. It was even our fans. Like they were on edge. It was crazy. It was crazy.
It was.
It was a hell of a run. It was a hell of a run.
Do you have a favorite moment?
There's a few. Playing, I think Gardner Webb for sure. And there's the picture I was always looking at, like running down the court. That was a tough moment. Getting to the Final Four, Texas Tech, which is a special game. Like, that was another high level game, second half. They started scoring, we started scoring. And then watching one shot in a moment, like sitting there with Kyle and Dre. And celebrating you and everyone. It was all just a. That's a dream come true. That's what we used to watch growing up. Hearing watch men. So.
We used to like, let's take off school on Friday.
Exactly. We used to watch the whole tournament. So.
You got caught that one day in school with your phone. And I had to pretend like I was mad at you with the teacher. And I asked you, how could you possibly get caught? I watched you guys work out today in the weight room and how serious you were and how diligent you guys are, but how close you are. And when you think about it, one, two, three guys are playing the same position. And a lot of times that's competitive. That's animosity. That's sometimes that's dislike for each other. It's the total opposite with you guys. You guys are like a loving, special, special unit. You got, I mean, I know you've seen it so many times.
Well, let's not get it twisted. Like, we fight on the court.
Yeah. Sure.
But that's competitive, right? And that's what you're supposed to do on the court. But, I mean, we watch you guys off the court. Yeah. I'm amazed.
I mean, outside the lines, we family. So, I mean, regardless of what we do on the floor, whatever, you can't change what happens off the floor. So, man, basketball is basketball, but these are brothers forever. So.
We want what's best for each other. We want everybody to get better. Like, that's why we in the weight room. We hope everybody, these off-season games, propel us to the next level. Or these us in the gym all working out. We're just trying to make each other better. So that's how we go.
Not to be crazy hokey, but you guys have really created something special.
Good job, Jay Willie.
Yeah, I don't know. I just followed Tony's lead. The only thing that I hope we do is you guys know how much I love this place. Like, I talk about my playing days and my teammates and all of that. I just hope that at some point they understand what it's like to have the same type of appreciation for the university and the program. And I think they do. And at some point the pillars mean something to them. It means at different points in your life, it means different things to different guys. But I hope that at some point they embrace those things and they become better men, better husbands, better fathers because of that.
Well, they're all four back, right? And consistently come back.
Yeah,
there's clearly something special about this.
Now, they come back. Wait. Hold on. They come back. Yeah, we'll be done. they come back, but they come back not. They come back for Damon and Mike Curtis. And I don't even know if y'all guys have been with Mike.
We can't.
We in practice?
Yeah.
We can't.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I'd be in the gym right now.
They don't come back to see me. They've been in town for weeks and I ain't heard from them. Especially that one.
Which one, Dre? Dre, can you please call Jim Willie?
Bring it in.
Could you please call Jim Willie and have lunch with him?
Before we go,
I have to thank one person, Danny Alter, alum from UVA. I want to say early 90s. Great dude. He and his wife MJ makes these masks. She's happy to make some. She's offered to make some for you. And if the crew goes to Mohegan Sun to play, she'll make them for you guys.
Okay.
Great dude. Great, unbelievable wife. Guys, thanks so much for coming down. Appreciate it.